The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Radio Reading Service presents Tech Tips, a monthly 30-minute show covering a wide range of assistive technologies, including portable and mobile devices, computers, and computer software designed for the blind and print-impaired community. Hi there, and thanks for listening. This is Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today, we're going to be talking with some high school students from the Governor Moorhead School here in Raleigh. They're going to be telling us all about the assistive technology they use on a daily basis. We're going to dive right in with our first student. His name is Jalen. Jalen, thanks for taking some time to talk with us today.
You're welcome, Chris.
So, Jalen, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am Jalen Brown, and I am from the Governor Moorhead School. I participate in sports, and I am in Baldwin Theater, and I am the school's vice president.
Awesome. Okay, so like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about assistive technology or other things that you might use to do your schoolwork or do other things around the campus. My first question to you is, what kind of technology do you use?
I use an iPad. I use Siri, and I use a large print.
What do you use the iPad for?
I use my iPad to do homework and to complete assignments and look up information if needed.
Do you use any of the accessibility features in the iPad?
I do not.
But you did mention you use Siri.
Siri, yes.
Okay, so how well does the Siri help you in your day-to-day tasks with regards to schoolwork?
With schoolwork. When I don't know a question or answer about something, I'll ask Siri, "Hey Siri, do you know what's the answer for this, or how do you say this word in Spanish or in French?"
So Siri has actually made the iPad very accessible to you.
Yeah.
Would you still be able to use the iPad if it wasn't for Siri?
I would.
Okay. Do me a favor and tell me just a little bit about your eye condition, because it's apparent that you have some vision. You're not totally blind. So give me just a little bit of detail on what vision you have.
Well, in my right eye, my eye acuity is 20 over, I believe, 50 right now. And in my left eye, I am totally blind because of a retina detachment.
You're lucky in the fact you've got some useful vision, and you don't need a lot of assistance, which is good. You had mentioned that one of the other things you use is large print.
Right.
It's the same books that everybody else uses, but the print's just larger, correct?
Just larger, right.
And do you find yourself using a magnifying glass or maybe an electronic magnifier sometimes?
I do not.
You don't? You haven't had a need for it yet?
Not yet.
If you had unlimited resources, is there a piece of technology that you would like to see be developed?
I think the iPhones and the Air Max could be improved. I wouldn't necessarily say developed, but more improved.
How would you like to see them improved?
To be more accessible for, like, kids who are visually impaired to be able to use their Mac devices more successfully and be able to access, different apps and websites.
Awesome. I'm going to say thank you very much for spending some time with us today for Tech Tips, and hope to have you back again real soon.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And now we're going to be talking with Savannah. Savannah, thanks for coming.
No problem.
And if you would, just tell me a little bit about yourself.
I'm Savannah. I'm a senior at Governor Moorhead, and I participate in a lot of extracurricular activities.
Such as?
I'm currently doing cheerleading. In May, I'll be doing track. I'm on the theater board, and
okay.
I'm in the book club, one of the leaders of it.
You are such an active young lady. That's awesome. So my first question is going to be kind of a wide open question here. What kind of assistive technology do you use on a daily basis?
For classes, I use my iPad or my iPhone, and I have VoiceOver and Invert Colors set up on both of them. And for like paperwork, I use Braille.
Let's talk about VoiceOver for just a second, because as hard as this may be for you and I to imagine, there's probably somebody out there who doesn't know a lot about VoiceOver. VoiceOver. What is VoiceOver?
VoiceOver is basically a screen reader. What it does is when you turn it on, you set it up however you want. I have mine set up for like noises, so like when I use the keyboard, it'll give clicks, and I have the speed set up pretty fast on mine. I have it at 100%. But what it does is whatever I tap on the iPad screen, it will read it out to me.
That's awesome. Now, but there is not a dictation portion to VoiceOver, correct? It just reads what's on the screen.
Yes. If you want to type something, you got to type it out with a keyboard.
Okay. You mentioned that you do a lot on your phone and tablet using VoiceOver. Is there anything that you do on either of those devices that VoiceOver sometimes has issues with?
We are doing online classes, and at the beginning of our online Spanish class, we had lots of trouble accessing it. It was not very accessible in the beginning, but we worked on it. We worked with the creators, and it's a lot better now. And the only other thing I really have problems with is there's a dictation key on the on-screen keyboard. And when I use it, sometimes VoiceOver will be saying dictation and like what to do with it. And I'll click the button too fast and you'll get VoiceOver talking in front of whatever you want to say.
Oh, okay. So there's a little bit of a learning curve for using VoiceOver. You have to be a little patient. What are some of the tasks that you do on a daily basis using your phone and tablet?
I check my email because our teachers will send us lots of emails. I use Pages on the iPad for documents.
Okay. Is Pages like a word processor?
Yes.
Okay. What else?
We have to do recordings in Spanish, so I'll use camera photos to do that. And Safari when we have to do research.
Okay, awesome. What's your favorite thing about VoiceOver?
Probably the fact that it reads stuff to me. I don't have to try to read it. I'm low vision, but I can't see good enough to read print very well unless it's really, really big, which then gets tiring because you have like 5 words on one page.
I understand. And it's also labor intensive to physically read. I can relate to that. So I totally get it. You're listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. We are talking with Savannah from the Governor Moorhead School here in Raleigh. And we're talking about VoiceOver right now. What is the dictate function?
The dictate function, it's a key on on-screen keyboard. You don't have to use VoiceOver to use it. It's not on iPad on-screen keyboards, but it's on my phone one. I'll use it to send text messages so I don't have to type them out because it's slow. Because VoiceOver, say the letter, double tap it. Say the letter, double tap it.
I understand.
So I'll use dictation. I'll just tap the key, and then I'll say what I want to say, and it types it out for me.
Awesome. How accurate is it?
Sometimes it'll get words wrong, but it's relatively accurate, and the worst it usually does is mess up a couple of the words, and you can still figure out what they're saying.
And people who you email and text with, they know that just because your texts and emails throw a random word in there, that's not you. That's the nature of the beast in using the dictate function.
Yes.
You said the other thing you do is invert colors on your iPad and iPhone. Could you explain a little bit about what that is?
Invert colors is basically what it says. It inverts the colors on the screen. I have kind of like color-sensitive eyes. White is a really bright color, so it hurts my eyes if I have to look at white backgrounds for long periods of time. Like settings, white background, black text. I cannot see the black text on the white background at all very well. So I use invert colors, which inverts the colors to where the background's black and the writing is white, which is a lot easier for me to both see and read if I absolutely have to.
Does invert colors affect images any?
Yes. If I want to look at pictures, I have to turn it off because it will give like a white person a weird bluish color skin and stuff.
Okay.
It makes pictures look weird.
So how has all of this technology helped you or hindered you in both your schoolwork and in your personal life?
In schoolwork, it's really useful. When I went to normal school, normal high school and middle school, I was in advanced classes, and I could keep up because the teachers would just send me the work, and I'd do it. If I had to do it in Braille, I probably could still be in the classes, but I'd be a bit slower in my work and probably a bit behind because Braille, I'm not a very fast Braille reader.
What year are you at GMS?
I'm a senior.
Awesome. So you're going to be graduating in May. Do you have any college plans?
I'm going to do community college for the basic classes and then transfer to a university where I'm going to study education.
Well, I want to thank you for spending some time with us today. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service with Chris Skidmore. Now we are going to be talking with Spencer, and Spencer is a high school student as well, but he does not attend Governor Moorhead School. I want to say thank you for Spencer for coming over here today.
You're welcome.
Just real briefly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, like you said, I'm a high school student, but I do not actually go to Governor Moorhead. I go to Sanderson High School in Raleigh. And
so you actually attend what's called a mainstream school.
Correct.
Okay, awesome. And what year are you?
Junior.
You're a junior. Okay, so you still got one more year. We're going to just dive right in here. I know you use several different pieces of assistive technology. The first one you use is VoiceOver. What exactly do you use VoiceOver for?
I use it to navigate my iPad.
If you didn't have VoiceOver, would you still be able to use your iPad?
In most cases, probably not, no.
Okay.
I use Siri, but like asking what's the answer for this and that, but if I didn't have VoiceOver, I wouldn't be able to use it other than Siri.
Okay. So you also listed something that you use called Job Access with Speech. What is that?
So that is also a screen reader. The first letters of each word start out with actually end up spelling the word JAWS. And what that basically is, it's a screen reader that you put on computers and laptops and things like that.
What else can JAWS do?
It also reads pages on the internet as well, just like VoiceOver does. And so it... JAWS and VoiceOver basically do the same thing.
JAWS also helps you navigate through the screen too, right?
Right. It helps you navigate just like VoiceOver, but as far as like going to the internet and things like that, it's JAWS makes it easier to research and things like that.
What's your favorite thing about JAWS?
Probably that it's just that it's accessible. It's quicker in a way than VoiceOver to browse the internet and things like that.
Okay. My next question is going to be kind of along those same lines. Is there something that you might like to see JAWS do that right now it can't?
I actually don't think so. I think I'm happy with what JAWS is capable of doing right now. So I can't really think of any changes of seeing anything JAWS could do that it doesn't do right now.
Okay. Let me ask you this. How has JAWS impacted your life?
I would say, first of all, it has enabled me to use my laptop in class, because faster than doing it than writing it all in Braille, believe me. And also, as I said before, it's quicker to use JAWS to browse the internet than it is VoiceOver, because then with JAWS you can just skip the pictures or whatever.
I got you. Is there any other kind of assistive technologies that you use?
I mean, on occasion I'll use Siri. Like if I need the answer to a homework question or anything like that, I'll ask Siri. And then tuning radio, but nothing else other than those things.
That's awesome. Do you have plans for after high school?
I haven't really thought about it yet, but I'm sure if I go to college, I hope to study more about radio.
Awesome. I want to thank you for coming out and spending some time with us today.
You're welcome.
You are listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm your host, Chris Skidmore. Glad to have you with us. And now we are talking with Haley. So first of all, Haley, let me say thank you for spending some time with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're very much welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Haley. I am a senior at Governor Moorhead. I'm also the student body president, and I play sports.
Let's just start out real simple. What are some of the pieces of assistive technology that you use?
I use my iPad with VoiceOver, also VoiceOver on my iPhone. And I also use a Bluetooth keyboard and a refreshable Braille display.
What do you use VoiceOver for?
I use VoiceOver every single day, so I can use it to go on social media, call and text, and go on YouTube and do homework.
You mentioned YouTube, and does YouTube have a lot of videos on there that are audio described?
No, not that I have seen.
So it's pretty much just luck of the draw if you come across one that does?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything that you do on a daily basis using your phone and tablet that you probably couldn't do if it wasn't for VoiceOver?
Mainly anything, because VoiceOver does way more than Siri for my help. Siri can just answer simple questions, but not do as much. So if I didn't have VoiceOver, I wouldn't really be able to do anything.
If you don't mind me asking, what's the nature of your eye condition?
No one is ever certain anymore about what my eye condition is, but all I know is that I can only see light, but it's not really as much help.
Okay. What is your favorite thing about VoiceOver?
My favorite thing about VoiceOver is that you can adjust it the way you want. You can change the language. You can change the rate.
If there was one thing that you could change about VoiceOver, what would it be?
Figure out how to way where it won't freeze as much. It freezes sometimes, and sometimes I don't necessarily know how to reboot it sometimes.
So let's move on, because you talked about something called Braille Edge. What is Braille Edge?
It's basically like the original Refreshable Braille 18, which is just a device where you can connect by Bluetooth. And the original was 18 cells, and the Braille Edge has 40 cells. So you have a longer line to read your Braille.
Okay, so the Braille Edge, it's a portable display, correct?
Yes.
And you can use that to access websites and emails and so on and so forth?
Yep, it's like a Braille version of a keyboard.
Okay, so it has a keyboard and a Braille display all in one neat little package.
Yes.
Is there also a voice component to it as well?
To the Braille display, no. You just connect it to the iPad or the iPhone, whatever device you're using, and instead of just flicking around the screen, you just use the arrows on it, and it'll just function like a regular keyboard.
Awesome. How has the Braille Edge made your life easier?
It made my life easier, where I can actually read stuff a lot quicker, and I don't have to hear the speech all the time. I can shut the speech off and just read it myself.
Can the Braille Edge connect to your phone if you needed it to?
Yes.
It has to have a Bluetooth connection, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so it doesn't have built-in Wi-Fi?
No.
Haley, you also mentioned something called Blind Square that you use. Could you tell us what that is, please?
It's an application for people that are visually impaired that they can use for locations. It's like a GPS system.
But it does more than just get you to a location. It kind of helps you with finding out where things are in that area, correct?
Yes. There's a feature on it called Streets Only, filters to Streets Only, where it'll tell you whenever you're walking what street you're on, and whenever you set up a point of interest, which is where you're located at that point, and then it'll give you the directions as in a clock form.
Will it also help you find the door?
Not yet.
Okay.
It probably will be in the future, but not yet.
How has being able to use Blind Square impacted your life?
At first, when I first used my regular white cane, and when I didn't have a GPS device application, I kind of got more lost than I ever been. So the Blind Square has actually helped me with my orientation and gave me clues of where I am.
It's actually given you some more independence.
Yes.
And after all, that is the point of all this technology, is to give people with low vision to no vision more independence.
Yep.
I'll put this question to you, too. Is there anything that you would like to see improved upon with either Blind Square or the Braille Edge?
Actually, with the Blind Square app, it can help you wherever you need to go, but it's not exactly accurate. For example, I have my distance set up to 10 feet away, where it'll give me like an alert saying I'm 10 feet away from my destination. And then whenever I'm there, it won't say exactly at that spot you have arrived at this address. It'll probably say a little bit earlier than it needs to be. So if it was more accurate, it'll be a lot more helpful.
Well, thank you very much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You are listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This is Chris Skidmore, and today we are talking with students from the Governor Moorhead School. And now on the phone, we have Matthew. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Ms. Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. I want to thank you for taking some time with us today over the phone. My first question is, if you would, for people who don't know you, tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Matthew Bazemore. I'm 17 years old, and I'm in the 11th grade. I go to the Governor Moorhead School.
Awesome. So we're going to get started here. In earlier interviews, we've heard about VoiceOver and JAWS as effective ways for visually impaired students to navigate using assistive technology. You also mentioned something called NVDA. For folks who don't know what that is, would you tell us a little bit about it, please?
Yes, sir. NVDA is the abbreviation Non-Visual Desktop Access, and it's a screen reader that was developed by Michael Caron in 2013. He made this screen reader for blind and visually impaired computer users so they wouldn't have to pay thousands of dollars for JAWS and they can use their computer more easily.
And you kind of touched on it. The best part about it is, what's the cost?
Free.
$0. Exactly. And it definitely meets the rule of, if it's free, then it's for me. Is that the screen reader of choice for you?
It is, yes, sir. You know, there's some pros and cons to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, JAWS is probably better with quality. But like I said, like you said, if it's free, it's for me. And NVDA is very good for what it does, very useful for me in schoolwork and college work, and for not just me, but a lot of blind users.
And do you find yourself using any one type of assistive technology over another?
Probably NVDA.
You use that? Is it the easiest thing for you to use?
Yes, it's easier for me, probably because I'm more experienced with that rather than JAWS or any other screen reader.
Understandable. Are there any other types of assistive technology that you use?
I use TapTapC.
Oh, awesome. What is TapTapC for folks who don't know?
TapTapC is an app for the blind. You can download it off the App Store. It was created by American Foundation for the Blind, and it has become one of the most usable apps on the App Store for blind and visually impaired.
And
TapTapC is when you take a picture of something that's in front of you, and it tells you what it is in just a matter of seconds.
That is amazing. I've played with it a little bit, and I love it. What would you typically use these apps for, NVDA, TapTapC, VoiceOver? What do you generally use these apps for on a daily basis?
Well, for NVDA, I use it for schoolwork and writing books and reading books on my computer. And TapTapC, if I want to know what color shirt I'm about to put on, I can just take a picture of it. And in like 5 seconds, it tells me a blue shirt.
Have you found that the reliability of TapTapC is pretty good?
Yeah, it is. Even tried to fool it. I put two shirts beside each other and said, okay, we'll see what it'll say now. Two different color shirts. And it said one blue shirt, one red shirt.
We're talking with Matthew on Tech Tips today, and my next question to you, Matthew, is how have these apps and assistive technologies impacted your life?
It helped me so much by, you know, I went blind all of a sudden, and I didn't know how I was going to adjust to it so quickly. But with these apps, I figured out about these apps, and I used them, and it really helped me realize that being blind isn't as hard as it seemed at the time. I didn't know how I was going to match my clothes, what I was going to pick up in the refrigerator. You know, so I used TapTapC and these assistive technology so I can see what I'm getting instead of, like someone said in a review of TapTapC, thanks for TapTapC, I didn't put soup on my toast.
Amen to that.
Trying to get beans.
Yeah, so, amen to that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So let me ask you this. If money was no object and no idea was too crazy, is there something that you would like to see an assistive piece of technology do?
Ooh, that's a real good question. Everything that is a big concern for me is really taken care of because there's apps out here that read barcodes, read facial recognition, money reader, color ID. For me, it's not really much I can ask for because all of these things are available. We just got to look for them and even sometimes pay for them because people work hard on these applications and programs. And sometimes it is worth, you know, paying some money for.
If somebody came up to you and was going to ask you for some advice because they've just recently become blind or visually impaired, what piece of advice would you give them when looking for a piece of assistive technology?
I would first send the iPhone and using VoiceOver. That was one of the ones I picked up first. And I saw that it's easy to use. It really is helpful as far as talking to people, texting people, being on social media. Because when you go blind, you still want to do those things. And it helps you still be involved with everybody else.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, sir. I thank you for letting me be up here and speak about this system technology.
You are listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This is Chris Skidmore, and today we are continuing our conversation with students from the Governor Moorhead School here in Raleigh, and now we are talking with Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
You doing all right today?
Yeah, I'm good.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a senior, and I go to the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind.
Awesome. And are you planning to go to college after you graduate?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any idea what you want to study?
I'm going to continue business administration.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are talking about assistive technology today and how you use assistive technology in your daily life. And you have mentioned something called a refreshable braille display. And for folks who don't know what that is, would you kindly tell us?
The refreshable braille display is basically like the Perkins Braille Writer, except it's much smaller. And you can pair it with your iPad, iPhone, or any other Bluetooth device that you have, and you can basically type using Braille.
Okay, but it also lets you read.
Yes, it also lets you read the Braille as well, so you're not just typing it, you're reading it as well.
And what it actually does is it takes what would normally be displayed on a computer monitor and converts it into Braille.
Yes.
For you. Okay, awesome. And do you know how that works?
Basically, whenever you type something or something pops up on the screen, like if you're going on your screen and you're going back and forth, it pops up whatever item is on your screen.
And it converts it to Braille, right?
Yes.
And there are basically two types of refreshable Braille displays, is my if I remember correctly. There's a 40 cell and an 80 cell. Other than numbers, what's the advantage to having one over the other?
So basically the advantage of having the 18 cell, the 40 cell, or the 80 cell is that you can read more with each of them. Like you can read a line of text with the 40 cell Braille display, and you can read probably two lines of text with the 80 cell, and you can probably read like just barely one line with the 18 cell.
Okay. And how has using the Braille display impacted your life?
So the way that using the refreshable Braille display has impacted my life is by giving me a chance to use technology and still be able to learn Braille use Braille at the same time. Because if it wasn't for the refreshable Braille display, I would have to use the on-screen keyboard to type everything, and that takes longer. So I guess another advantage is you can type faster with it as well.
All right, thank you. We are talking with Jessica from the Governor Moorhead School about the assistive technology that she uses. She uses something called the refreshable Braille displays, and that's what we're talking about. And what do you use the Braille display for?
I use it for typing notes, getting my work done, typing assignments, reading, and basically navigating my devices.
Okay. Is there a voice component to it too, or is it strictly Braille?
It's just Braille. There's no voice component. The only voice speech you get is from either your iPad, your iPhone, or whatever other Bluetooth device you're using.
Okay, and for anyone who's interested, what would you say to them if they were looking at refreshable Braille displays? What would you tell them to be on the lookout for?
I would say to be on the lookout for, first off, the price.
Yeah, because they're not cheap.
No, they're really not. Also, when you're getting one, if you want one from Hims, I know some of their stuff is update. You can update it. I would be on the lookout for updates from APH. They don't update theirs, so you don't have to worry about theirs.
And just so you know, I actually did do a little bit of looking as far as pricing goes, and I found one as cheap as $1,000, and then the most expensive one I found was about $3,400. So,
wow.
Yeah, wow. So they're not cheap. So is there anything else you'd like to add?
Refreshable Braille displays are a really good tool for people who want to learn Braille, but don't want to do it on the Braille writer, because it gives you the sense of being able to read and being able to write and still being able to learn Braille as well, and you don't have to use a big, heavy Braille writer all the time.
Awesome. Thank you very much for taking some time to talk with us today, and congratulations on being a senior this year and hopefully graduating in a couple of months.
Thank you.
Once again, I'd like to thank all of our students from the Governor Moorhead School and Sanderson High School for talking with me today. You've been listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. We'll see you again next month.
We've run out of time for today's episode of Tech Tips. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast by visiting our website at www.triangleradingservice.org. Tech Tips is produced by Chris Skidmore in cooperation with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. If you have any questions, you can email me. My email address is chris@trrsnc.org, or you can give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips.